for some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome back to the FTN DataCast presented by the FTN Network. As always, Adam Pfeiffer here, Tyler Lochner with me, continuing our team previews here on the podcast. NFC East, we did the Eagles last week, now going to the New York Giants, who I'm actually excited to talk about, so we'll get into it. But first things first, Tyler, how was your weekend? And before we get into it, we got to plug some stuff at FTN, because today, Monday, June 27th, pretty huge day for FTN.
It's a huge day. I had a good weekend and made even better this morning when Jeff Radcliffe's fantasy football game plan, it's the ultimate guide, dropped. I actually didn't think it was dropping until Wednesday, so came out early. It's great. It's a great day.
Yeah, so again, that launched today, and again, Jeff Radcliffe, one of the goats of the industry, so why would you not look to purchase the FTN fantasy game plan? And if you are not aware of what comes with it, I mean, what doesn't come with it, I guess, is probably the better question. I mean, you get player profiles for, 300 plus players, positional breakdowns, advanced stats, rankings, depth
rookie
charts.
Rookie breakdown.
Yeah, all the rookie breaks down, everything.
Honestly, the best part of it is it gets updated several times throughout the year. So, like, if someone gets hurt, he updates it. So you're not left with an outdated draft guide.
Yeah, so make sure you check that out. You know, we've been tweeting it out all morning, and we'll continue to tweet it out because it is such an advantageous thing to add, because Jeff's so good, obviously. But also, like, on top of everything else that comes with it, like the rankings alone, just because Jeff's been like the most accurate ranker for the past, you know, X amount of years. He's been, you know, among the best in the industry. So, again, check it out. What is that? I believe it's you can get the different packages too. The platinum one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
you get it with the platinum package. So
yeah,
just check that out.
Yeah. So make sure you check that out, as well as all the other content at FTN. There's a lot of it that we're going to have this week and going forward, because again, it's almost July. So let's get to these positional or these team previews. If you missed the positional previews, again, they were really fun. So subscribe, rate, review the podcast, all that great stuff. But let's get to the New York Football Giants, who last year was a lost season. And I'm excited about them this season, mainly because Brian Daboll is their head coach. I am, as a Bills fan, I'm not happy that he's no longer Buffalo, but I'm glad he's a head coach. He deserves it. He is awesome. And he's going to really help this offense, because the last couple seasons we've seen Joe Judge and Jason Garrett and his archaic offensive approach that's just been awful for fantasy and awful for these players, right? Running Saquon Barkley up the middle between the tackles behind a bad offensive line multiple times. But now you have Brian Daboll, who I kind of want to lead with that before we get into Daniel Jones. First and foremost, I understand there's some comparisons, right? Brian Daboll helped unlock Josh Allen. He could do the same for Daniel Jones. Two things. Daniel Jones isn't even close to Josh Allen as a player. And the second thing, yes, Brian Daboll was a piece of Josh Allen's ascension. We have to remember, a lot of it was, A, he already had like this ridiculously high ceiling in these physical tools to start with. But B, working with, you know, Jordan Palmer in the offseason and working with now offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey, like, that was a lot of it too. So if you're expecting Brian Daboll to come in and flip Daniel Jones' career around and have him emerge as a top 12 quarterback, I don't know if that's going to happen. But overall, with Brian Daboll calling the plays and running the offense, everything is going to be better. Saquon Barkley is going to see more touches in space. Kadarius Toney is going to see more touches in space. It's going to be way more creative, and as a result, that will help Daniel Jones. So what are your thoughts on Daniel Jones? He's been like a pretty popular like sleeper breakout candidate quarterback the last couple of years, because he gives you mobility, gives you rushing totals, and he's had decent players. Like the Giants' overall skill position players the last two seasons, at least on paper before injuries and everything, it's been probably top 10 unit, right? Saquon Barkley is an elite running back. Going into last season, you had Galladay, Shepard, Ingram, didn't pan out, but now you have Kadarius Toney, who looks like an ascending, really promising young player. So long-winded way of me asking, what do you think of Daboll and Daniel Jones in this offense? And is there anything to be had for him as a, you know, quarterback two in Superflex, or like a sleeper, fourth-year breakout, I guess, or third-year breakout?
Yeah, I love Daboll. I don't really have much to add there. I think I'm excited to see.
You could just say he's the GOAT.
I'm excited to see what he does because you mentioned it. The Giants do have really good offensive players. Then in terms of Daniel Jones, I am not as high on him as like what I've seen on Twitter. Like people hype him up as like this late round option, yada, yada, yada. If I'm playing Superflex, I am trying to get like I'm trying to get Justin Fields or Kirk Cousins or Derek Carr as my QB2.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably sometimes I don't even draft a QB3. I will just roll with those two and whatever like the week they're off. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what strategy I want to use there. But the long story short is if I end up with Daniel Jones on my roster, I think I've done it wrong. And it's not because I don't, you know, I think he's a fine like tail end QB2, like in the QB 20 to 25 range. He'll have some weeks where he finishes as a top, like a top 10, top 8 quarterback. I don't think it'll happen that often. I just don't think he's very good is the bottom line. I do think he's got extremely talented players around him, but I am much lower on Jones than I am, I think compared to the industry. And of quarterbacks going in his range, I would rather just take like Matt Ryan or even Jameis Winston than Jones.
Yeah, it's fair. The one thing I'll say with Daniel Jones is that what Matt Ryan won't give you is, you know, the last couple seasons. So Daniel Jones last season, 5.6 carries per game, 10th among quarterbacks, had about 300 rushing yards last year, which, you know, that 300 mark is like, it's a nice mark. Like, obviously,
yeah,
it adds a little bit. And then in 2020, he averaged he had 423 rushing yards, which is 7th among quarterbacks. 30 rushing yards per game. So that's a nice little added floor. It's just the passing's been so bad. But I think a lot of it is the fact that I think Brian Daboll is like, again, I've kind of led with it, but I think he's legitimately the real deal. I understand, you know, having Josh Allen helps with what you're doing on offense. But look at the pass rates for Brian Daboll in his four seasons with Buffalo, 54, 54, and then 60%. League average in pass rate was around 49%. So 48%. So he's been passing well above league average. And the thing I love about Daboll, go ahead.
I just don't think great coaching can overcome bad quarterback. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's totally fair.
So, I mean, over the last 2 years, Daniel Jones, he was actually like not horrendous as a rookie, all things considered, 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. But his last 2 years, he's thrown 21 touchdowns and 17 interceptions the last 2 years combined.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do so much better. You just can. And I know like there's hope for him, but quarterback is so loaded and it goes like 15 players deep that even in Superflex, you can draft two of those top 15. And I just don't think there's any reason to go outside of that. I mean, I know like you can wait and get value at running back and wide receiver, but we talked about this on the quarterback tier breakdown. It's loaded. It's totally loaded this year and you're safe with those players. Like there is, I don't see a world in which Daniel Jones finishes as a top 10 fantasy quarterback. So like,
yeah, I don't either. And like, this is obviously strictly super flex. If you're starting Daniel Jones in a one quarterback league, somebody got hurt or something happened. I think I'm more okay with him as my second or third quarterback in super flex than you are, but that's more so if I go like, one of the elite quarterbacks in the first round, and then I go position player, like running back, receiver. And then I'm in that case, like if I really like, say I get like, you know, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or someone, and then like I go like Justin Jefferson and a running back. I think I'm a little bit okay just because I still believe in Brian Daboll. And I think what he's going to do is going to put Daniel Jones in a situation where he's just getting the ball in space to Kadarius Toney and getting the ball in space to Saquon Barkley and letting them make plays instead of having Daniel Jones have to do a lot more. The offensive line's also been improved, which is huge. It's been one of the worst offensive lines in football the last couple seasons. I believe they drafted Evan Neal. You know, Andrew Thomas is, you know, going to continue to get better at left tackle. So I like that. But let's get to the exciting Saquon Barkley, who, I don't know if you remember, like maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, he was like a third round pick, like mid third rounds. He's going to be going at the turn soon. I really believe it. He's a second round pick now. And I'm all in. Like Saquon Barkley it reminds me a lot of Deebo Samuel last year. right? Like Barkley was, you know, the RB1 in fantasy his rookie season. And then he was like, he was took a step back in year two, but was still a top 10 running back. Then the injuries settled in. But now there's this belief that he's this injury prone player that can never stay healthy and won't be able to stay healthy and his career is done. Similar to Deebo Samuel, was like, oh, Deebo can't stay healthy. But like, A, injury prone is like a myth, in my opinion. B, the injuries that Saquon Barkley had, it's like, okay, the torn ACL was obviously awful a couple years ago. And then last year was the injury to his ankle where he was backpedaling at the end of a play, stepped on a Cowboys defender's foot, rolled his ankle, and was out for a couple weeks. Like, totally fluky. And again, the way they used him was a joke. Like, get him in space, get him catches. Remember what he did with Eli Manning, his rookie season, catching everything? Like, obviously, Eli's not going to add anything mobility-wise, so he's going to check it down a lot more. But Saquon Barkley, Brian Daboll, I'm all in. I feel like I'm moving him up every day. Where do you have Saquon, and what do you expect here? Will he get back to top five status? I think if he's healthy, his ceiling is, like, RB3. I don't know if he can get to Taylor or McCaffrey if everything goes right, but, like, he could easily finish ahead of Dalvin Cook and, you know, Joe Mixon, all those guys, easily.
Yeah, Barkley, I currently have him as my RB11. I think I need to update that to move him ahead of Kamara because there's now reports 100%. That Kamara is probably going to be suspended. I absolutely love where he's going. You can start drafts with, it's getting harder to do. You pointed out he's going into the second round now and increasing seemingly every day, but you could start drafts with like McCaffrey or Taylor and then get, and then pair him with Barkley on the way back, like all the way back at the end of the second round. And you know, I'm an upside chaser. I talk about it basically every single podcast. If every single running back achieved to, let's say, like their 90th percentile, right? Like every single running back in fantasy football absolutely smashed, Barkley would be the RB2 overall. Like,
yeah,
he would be. So in terms of,
Put everybody's best case scenario season on the table,
exactly, he would be
probably
the RB2.
It would probably go CMC and Barkley.
Exactly.
I really, because Taylor, as good as Taylor is, like his ceiling for catches is probably 45.
Right.
Barkley's could be, and we've seen like Brian Daboll in this offense with the Bills, they've been like bottom five in percentage of passes to running backs and targets to running backs, but like, as much as I love Devin Singletary, he's been one of the least efficient pass catching running backs in football, and they haven't had anything close to Saquon Barkley. And Daboll, when he joined the Giants, you know, a couple months ago or weeks ago, I think was when the interview happened. It was one of his press conferences. He said pretty much about like getting your players the ball in the best case scenario and everything. He said that as an offensive play caller, that quote, you find a way to get the best players of football, just point blank, period. Saquon Barkley is the team's best player. I don't care that he's been, you know, he's missed 18 games the last two seasons. Like, Barkley is, I still think Saquon Barkley, if healthy, is, you can make the case he's right behind the elite running, like, he is an elite running back, but he's, like, top three. Like, he is a player that you're going to look back on and say, I didn't draft Saquon Barkley because he missed 18 games the last two seasons. I don't want that on my team. And when he plays 15 games and smashes, you're going to be like, what was I thinking? Like, I just watched Deebo Samuel stay healthy and be one of the best players in football. Like, Saquon has that. We've seen it. And it'd be totally different if it was, like, Tyler, if it was a player that we haven't seen the ceiling from. It was like, okay, talented player. He's shown flashes here and there as a, you know, 12 to 15 touch running back. That's not the case. This is one of the best running back prospects we've ever seen coming out of Penn State.
Yeah.
He was, again, you talk about it all the time. McCaffrey is like the unquestioned GOAT in fantasy, but like in his rookie season, Saquon Barkley just outscored Barkley as the RB1 in fantasy. So we've seen the ceiling of being the best player in the league in fantasy.
100%. We have. And Barkley, people will be like, oh, Barkley played 13 games last year and was still terrible. But that's not entirely true because he was on a very clear pitch count after he returned from the injury.
It was a lot of Devontae Booker.
His first game, he played 48% of the snaps because he was returning from the ACL and the Giants were seeing how he would do. And then he played 84%, 86%, 89% of the snaps. So they clearly want him on the field 85% plus of the time. And then he got hurt, missed a month, and returned. And from weeks 13 onward, he did not top 60% of the snaps. They kept him between 50 to 60% of the snaps. So if he's fully healthy, he's going to be on the field way more. he's going to be a 20 touch player a game, 20 to 25 touch player a game.
20 might be his floor because I did a rankings piece for FTN Fantasy ranking the top backup running back situations in the NFL. The Giants were last. I'll just let you know now. The Giants were 32nd. Can you name the running backs behind Barkley? Because it's really bad. It's no. Matt Breida. I'll give you Matt Breida. You won't name the other two. Gary Brightwell and Antonio Williams. Matt Breida has yet to reach the 20 carry mark in a game throughout his career. And then Brightwell and Antonio Williams have 12 career carries combined. So if Barkley stays healthy, I think we could see an 85% snap share and like 23 to 25 touches per game.
Yeah.
And given the fact that his touches are going to be higher value this season, that's so exciting to me. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk on the offensive line one more time. We have a lot of advanced rushing numbers at FTN Fantasy. In 2021, the Giants' run blocking unit was bad. They generated 1.36 yards before contact per attempt, ninth lowest mark in the NFL. And then Barkley individually, 51% of his rushing attempts were stuffed at or behind the line of scrimmage this past season.
Yikes.
Eighth highest rate among running backs is 70 carries, at least 70 carries. Like, that kind of goes right in hand in hand with what I was saying, how they're just giving him carries. They're giving him like Zeke touches, right? Like right up the middle, just between the tackles, not in space. And the difference between Barkley and Zeke, I know Zeke's been not as efficient lately, but like Dallas's offensive line is in bottom five in the league. And you add Evan Neal. They also added John Feliciano, who's a good run blocker with Buffalo, who Brian Daboll is familiar with. And then Andrew Thomas should be better here in year three. I just think if anybody comes close to what we've seen from McCaffrey, remember when he would be like 90%+ of the snaps almost every game? If any running back can do that, I think it's Barkley.
I'm all in on him too. I'm looking briefly at our tool that shows how many runs a player, how many rush attempts a player has against the number of defenders in the box. And I haven't done the math of how his averages works out against the league average.
Don't ask me to do any math.
But it looks like, just looking at this, and I'll do more, maybe I'll tweet it out. But it looks like the majority of Barkley's carries came against either seven or eight defenders in the box, which makes it, you know, significantly harder to run against. He had a 3.2 yard per carry average with seven defenders in the box, a 2.9% average with eight in the box, but when he drops down to six in the box, his average yards per carry popped up to five. So I don't know if they were putting him in the best situation. You know, you talked about that, but you know, the numbers really support it. It was bad last year. And unfortunately, like the only drawback for me on Barkley, like I love Barkley. I'm drafting him at his current cost 100% of the time, but I clearly don't think Daniel Jones is very good. So like, I just still think that is a big handicap on the offense. That's really my only negative for Barkley.
Yeah, and again, if Brian Daboll is as good as I believe he is, the offense should move more, sustain more drives. So I'm all in on Barkley. Like, even if he starts to go at the 1-2 turn, I really don't have a problem with it because, like, the running backs going ahead of him in drafts right now, like Mixon, Fournette. I think Barkley passed Fournette, actually. But, like, Mixon, Swift, Harris. I guess Harris is the only other running back that could get that 90% snap share. We already saw that, essentially, so I'll definitely add Najee Harris at list, but you know, Harris also has a bad offensive line and is not as good as Saquon Barkley as a player. So I love Barkley. I'm very excited. If he stays healthy, he's going to remind everybody that he's still one of the elite players in the NFL. Let's go to the receivers, the pass catchers. I want to start with Kadarius Toney because Toney, outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown, was my favorite rookie receiver coming into the draft. Obviously, I didn't have him ranked the highest. Jamar Chase is Jamar Chase. But he was like my second favorite receiver coming out of Florida. He was insane after the catch, really, really, really shifty. And we saw that immediately in the NFL. As soon as he got a full allotment of snaps, like we saw that he is already one of the more explosive young receivers in football. Injuries also played a part in his rookie season, and essentially the Giants receivers are just always hurt. But I look at what Brian Daboll did with Isaiah McKenzie last season. A lot of pre-snap motion, which the Giants never did last. They had no pre-snap motion. Daboll has a lot of pre-snap motion. So I think we're going to see a lot of that with Toney. And we already saw him command a healthy targets per out run rate. Like, this his is targets, the, this is a breakout receiver if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, his targets per route run was actually top 10 among all wide receivers last year. And that's one of the most predictive, stickiest stats in terms of identifying.
Yeah. And the, you know what the other one is?
Elite wide receivers.
The other one's yards per route run.
Yards per route run. Yeah.
He was like right there with like A.J. Brown and everybody. And then against man coverage, it was also, I think, top 12 as well. So like it didn't really matter what kind of defense he was facing. Those advanced metrics were great for Kadarius Toney. Then you watch the film and it's like, oh, yeah, he's really, really tough to cover. Like he's I'm excited to see Daboll almost as much with Toney as I am with Barkley.
Yeah, we've talked about his target share. Again, I feel like we've talked about Toney a bunch. Like I've written about him a bunch. I wrote five players to trade for in Dynasty. I wrote up Toney for the Sleepers Bets and Bust series on the Giants. I wrote up Toney, and my bet for him is that he finishes as a top 20 fantasy wide receiver. I mean, that's a bold bet. I'm not ranking him in the top 20, to be clear, but like it would not surprise me in any way, shape, or form if he is the year two wide receiver breakout, like you just said. His target share was like over 30% when he was healthy. He had very few healthy games last year, but he was over 30%. He had a 12 target game, a 9 target game, a 13 target game, a 9 target game. He had a game with 189 yards, 10 catches. It was extremely impressive. It was extremely efficient. It was with a horrendous quarterback. I mean, I think Mike Glennon might have even been his quarterback for some of those games. I can't remember. I am, with Brian Daboll coming in, I am most excited for Kadarius Toney. Like, even more so than Saquon Barkley, but maybe that's because Toney has, like, a little bit of an unknown factor to him. I really like drafting Toney. He's actually, at cost, my favorite Giant player to draft.
Yeah, I would probably have more teams with Kadarius Toney on them if that range of wide receiver where he gets drafted wasn't like maybe my second favorite range of receiver in drafts. He goes right where Tyler Boyd, a little bit before Tyler Boyd, but like Chase Claypool, some of the rookie receivers, Alan Lazard, Russell Gage.
Mm-hmm. It's a great range.
It is. Like Hunter Renfrow, Brandon Ayuk, who I know you love. Toney for me, though, like, again, the Giants were bottom five in pre-snap motion last season. That is going to change under Brian Daboll. I'm not saying they're going to be top five, but they will not be bottom five. I can guarantee that. And I think they give Toney some handoffs. My bold prediction, like I think I said this on this podcast, is Kadarius Toney will throw a touchdown pass to Daniel Jones this season.
You did say that.
Because they did the same thing with John Brown and Josh Allen a couple years ago in Buffalo in a playoff game, nonetheless. So that's my bold call is Toney will throw a touchdown pass to Daniel Jones. So maybe you should rank Daniel Jones higher considering he's going to have a receiving touchdown and not many quarterbacks will. But no, like the, just I have him as my wide receiver 40 right now. And if he finished 15 spots ahead of that, I'd be like, yeah, totally. That I probably should have been higher on him. Makes a ton of sense. It's just receivers obviously loaded. There's players and better offenses around that, that go ahead of him, obviously. But in terms of breakout receivers, right? Like Gabriel Davis is probably like the obvious, but like Toney should be very much considered a breakout candidate. And if he breaks out, that means Daniel Jones probably had a good enough season to be a quarterback too in fantasy. I'm just a huge believer. The sigh. I'm just a huge believer in Toney's talent. I'm a huge believer in what Brian Daboll. Again, Daboll is excited about Toney and Barkley. So these are the two top Giants players to draft pretty clearly.
Yeah.
What about the rest of the team, though? Like Sterling Shepard might not be ready to start the season, which leaves us with Kenny Galladay, who got a massive contract from the Giants this time last season and then didn't score a touchdown, was battling some injuries, couldn't get, it's tough to play receiver with Daniel Jones and in this offense when you don't separate much. Because that means you're relying on Daniel Jones to get you the ball in contested situations. And that just didn't happen last season with Kenny Galladay. But like now, what was he, like a fourth, fifth round pick last season? I mean, now he's going like really late.
He's like in the drafts. Wide receiver 50 or something in drafts right now.
Right.
It was his volume actually wasn't horrible. Like it wasn't elite, but he had 7 to 8 targets in a lot of his games. But he. After he got hurt in week 5, he did not catch more than 3 passes in a single game. and he maxed out at 53 receiving yards. He didn't catch a touchdown all year. He was playing like 75 to 90% of the snaps too. Once he returned, he played weeks 9 to 17. He had a 7-target game, 3 8-target games, did not catch more than 3 receptions. Like, just a horrible chemistry with Daniel Jones.
This is bad. Ready for this?
What?
So Kenny Galladay finished the season with 74 targets. How many do you think were contested?
Oh my gosh. Half of them.
Yeah, 36.
Yeah, rough.
How many do you think he caught?
Of the contested?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Galladay's amazing, so I'm going to say all 36, but probably half of those.
14.
Oh, man.
So even worse. When we saw him in Detroit, Stafford has always been a guy that's gonna sling the ball all over the yard, and Galladay was great with him, obviously. But I don't know if he's going to, like, I think he's easily could be a value where he's going. So I'm fine drafting him where he's at. I just don't know if there's a massive ceiling for him. And it's weird because we've seen a massive ceiling from him. Like, this last couple of years in Detroit, he emerged as one of the best contested deep threats in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, Galladay, I sent out a tweet, I think, during like Galladay's rookie year that I thought within a few years he would be the best wide receiver in the NFL. I actually thought Galladay was unbelievable. And I still think he was like kind of on that trajectory. And then the trade was just so bad for him. I'm not totally sure what to do with him. Like, is it too much recency bias to just completely write him off? It might be.
The other thing is too,
like, if we're excited about Tony, shouldn't we probably be excited about Galladay too? Or is just his role in the offense?
Yeah, I think it's different because, like, we got to remember Kenny Galladay is going to be 29. Like, he's
true.
It feels like he's 24, but he's not exactly young. And then I just think Tony, the way he can be utilized and scheme targets, I don't think you do that with Kenny Galladay. I think his role is going to be the vertical pass catcher, get him some involvement in the red zone. And I just think Tony's clearly going to be the one in this offense.
I mean, I agree with that. I agree. It just hurts me because I really liked Galladay, but I think I'm letting go. If you look at his racer, which again, I need to figure out what that stands for. It's your total actual receiving yards divided by your air yards. So let's say you had 1,000 air yards and you had 1,000 actual receiving yards. Your racer would be 1. Galladay had, so higher racer is better because it means you did a better job at converting your air yards into actual yards. Galladay had the 5th worst racer in the NFL. He only converted 51% of his air yards into actual yards. Darius Slayton had the 2nd worst. So, like, I think that's as much a quarterback stat maybe as a wide receiver stat. And, you know, your role in the offense, both of those players had average depths of target over 13, which is pretty high. But Galladay, he does nothing after the catch. He only had 119 yards after the catch last year. And he only had a 16% team target market share. If we're expecting Barkley to catch more balls, if we're expecting Tony to break out, you know, they drafted Wandale Robinson. We haven't talked about him at all, but they drafted him really high. Like,
yeah, I do want to talk about Robinson because
it's bleak for Galladay. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, like Tyler Boyd, it's not even a question for me. I'm taking Tyler Boyd over Galladay. We'll talk about Boyd more when we get to the Bengals and the AFC, but like, Boyd's like my favorite middle to later round receiver in fantasy. Again, if you draft Galladay where he's going, there's nothing wrong with that. I just don't know if at the end of the season you're going to be like, oh, I got Galladay at wide receiver 52, and he finishes wide receiver 18. Like, I just don't see that in his range of outcomes. Maybe he finishes like 35, but like, I don't know how much higher he can get, given the fact that Kadarius Toney's emerged, and they did draft Wandale Robinson in the 2nd round of the draft, 5'8", 178-pound slot receiver who played in the slot around 80% of the time, was really Kentucky's entire offense in college. It's interesting too, because when the draft selection happened, it was, oh, this is the new Isaiah McKenzie for Brian Daboll. And to an extent, I could see him using that range, but like, he was also good in yards per out run. He just had a ton of elite market share numbers in college because he was force fed the football in Kentucky's offense. But yeah, like that was one of the surprising picks of the draft. Second round draft capital for Wandell Robinson when I know Shepard might miss the start of the season, but like this team definitely had other needs. So I think this was definitely one of those selections where Brian Daboll definitely was part of the process. Is he like a, you know, I think he's an, again, it's obviously a cop out, but like he's an elite best ball player to draft. Because like A, he has a role, he has draft capital, and B, these Giants receivers have missed so many games with injuries the last year and a half or so. What are your thoughts on Wandell Robinson? Like, are you just more inclined to just draft him later than Galladay and just say, okay, there might be a ceiling here because of the way he might be used in this new offense?
Yeah, I've drafted Robinson a few times. I think really the only reason I'm interested in him is because of the draft capital. I think he was drafted way too high in the actual draft, but you know, at a certain point we need to just, we talked about this, like, okay, what's the team telling us? And as of right now, they're telling us we like Robinson. And I don't think you draft him in the second round and then not use him, especially when you, I know like they feel deep because we know all of the names at wide receiver, but I don't think the Giants are actually deep at wide receiver. Nothing is settled there. Like, what if Galladay's not good anymore? Like they seriously have a need there. So I'm drafting him sometimes. It's not like I'm drafting him every time late. But he's super cheap. I think he's like he could end up being good in PPR. Like, my only problem with Robinson is that he seems so similar to Tony, and it's like every time I envision a good role for Robinson, it's just like, oh, but Tony would do it better, so they're just going to use Tony instead. So I don't love Robinson, but I am drafting him sometimes. I'm drafting him more than like Cedric Wilson. Curtis Samuel, Marquez Callaway, like some other receivers going in that range, I'm drafting him more than them, but I'm not going overboard, I wouldn't say.
All right, let's close it out with the tight end position. Not a ton here. They drafted Daniel Bellinger in the fourth round this past April. They have Ricky Seals-Jones, who we saw when he was with Washington. He posted like back end tight end one numbers when Logan Thomas was out, but you know, he signed with the Giants this offseason, looked like he was going to be the starting tight end, but now it could be, you know, Daniel Bellinger. Again, rookie tight ends don't produce unless they are elite prospects, which even then they kind of underwhelm at times. So it's not expected to see Daniel Bellinger contribute for fantasy, but he has gotten some Dawson Knox comparisons. I think he's a very interesting sleeper, especially in dynasty leagues, but I would be very shocked if he offered much fantasy relevance in year one.
But
the depth chart's wide open because it's Bellinger, Ricky Seals-Jones, and Jordan Akins. Like, that's it.
Yeah, I would say don't draft a Giants tight end. Like,
absolutely
it's just,
not.
It's just don't do that. But in dynasty, you could take a shot. Bellinger would be the one to take a shot on. And it is worth paying attention to in redraft because if one does emerge on the top of the depth chart, like, maybe someone comes out and is playing with the first team offense.
Yeah, I believe Bellinger's been getting first team reps in mini camps right now. So
we could see it in preseason. Like, it could be a case where preseason he plays the whole quarter with the first team offense and gets targeted a bunch. Then maybe he becomes interesting. But there's no need to draft one, I don't think. I mean, if one emerges, they're going to be there on the waiver wire.
Yeah, and even then, like, I don't see a situation where Daniel Bellinger becomes the number one waiver wire ad of a given week, right?
Right.
So I guess it's possible because at a point there's going to be the tight ends we look to break out and multiple will not pan out. And then you're looking for a tight end. Maybe that, but it's still, it'd have to be a really bad week for Daniel Bellinger or Ricky Seals-Jones to be the number one waiver ad of a given week. So
yeah,
clearly for me, the excitement for this team comes from their new head coach. It's not just because I love Brian Daboll, but it's the fact that what they had the past couple seasons, it's just such an upgrade going to Brian Daboll. And there's still plenty of talent on this offense for him to work with, which is even more exciting. Again, we both agree Barkley in a better system, doesn't have to be a perfect system, but in a better system with healthy play is still an elite running back in the league. And Kadarius Toney showed the signs that he could be a number one receiver on a team last season. I don't expect, like, for me, the only thing holding this team back for fantasy for a handful of players is health.
And Daniel Jones.
I guess, but like even like, again, like if Kadarius Toney's out here, you know, smashing with Daniel Jones and Mike Glennon, like Daniel Jones just had to be decent and Barkley and Toney. Like Barkley, if Daniel Jones is decent, Barkley can be top three. If Daniel Jones is decent, Toney can be top 25. So, yeah, I'm a lot more excited about the Giants than I have been the past couple seasons. And we will see what happens. Not expect them to win the division or anything, although you never know with the NFC East. It tends to be wide open more often than not. Speaking of the NFC East, we will continue previewing this division as well as the rest of the teams in the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys up next. That'll be fun because I feel like every team in the division made some sort of moves to get better, and the Cowboys were just like, we're just going to lose half our players. So we'll break that team down next. Tyler, for FTN content throughout the week, what do you have kind of planned? Because it's a starting for me, I'm going to be doing the coaching and coordinator breakdown series starting on Wednesday.
I am so excited for that.
It's a lot of data. I got to give Matt Jones a ton of credit. He developed an awesome app with a ton of data that makes it very easy to check out. So I'm really excited about that.
This week, I have the most and least consistent tight ends and quarterbacks.
There you go. So ton of content, FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTN Bets, like always. And make sure you check out Jeff Ratcliffe's Fantasy Football Game Plan. It launched today, Monday, June 27th, perfect timing to get ready and get prepared for fantasy football drafts that will be starting before you know it. So thanks for listening. As always, subscribe, rate, review, all that great stuff. We'll be back with the Dallas Cowboys. This has been the FTN Dadcast presented by the FTN Network. For Tyler, I'm Adam. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to the FTN Datacast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter at APfeiffer24 and at LochnerNFL.